Tonight, I'd like to begin our study in John chapter number 9. And I'd like to look at our sense of sight tonight. Our sense of sight. And I'd like to preach on this subject tonight. Our sense of sight spiritually. We're talking about sensing God with our senses. Being God conscious. Our sense of sight will produce the conclusion of our faith. All true faith will conclude with this. Awful deep. I don't know if you'll be able to get it or not. Maybe over your head. We're going to see Him. It's just that simple. If you've got true faith, when you close these eyes and these eyes see no more, you will open spiritual eyes and you will see Him. You will see Him. As we begin that thought tonight, I want us to begin in John chapter number 9 and look at the position of favor in His sight. The Bible said in verse 1, "And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." The position of favor in His sight. One of the positions is the sight of favor. You say, "I can see tonight." I believe there's a number of you tonight's got 20/20 physically, but you blind as a jaybird spiritually. God must give you sight. He must give you spiritual sight. Matter of fact, in verse 24, they was going to put this old boy out of the synagogue and the membership there. Then again called they the man that was blind, said unto him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." They said, "That guy that gave you your sight, all we know about him is he's a sinner." I love what the old boy said in verse 25. He answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. He said, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I can see." He said, "That's all I know." I wonder tonight if you can testify with John Newton tonight, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, now I'm found. I was blind." Was blind. Do you remember a marked historical occasion when you was blind, but now you see? What would that be like? Oh, for the Song of Solomon, Gail, he called her having dove's eyes. The spiritual eyes are eyes that are singular for God only. I remember the day when He did not give me eyes for this world, but He gave me eyes for Him. I did not want to see what I could see, but I wanted to see what I couldn't see. I didn't want to look at the visible, I wanted to look at the invisible. Isn't that what Moses said? That he persevered, he endured, having seen Him who is invisible. I'm talking about the sight of favor. Oh, that God would favor someone here tonight, and maybe before the service was over, you'd holler out, "I can see, I can see, I can see." Huh? It's the way it was for me. But not only is there the sight of favor, if you've got your Bible there, Genesis chapter number 18, I hope you've brought your Bible with you. Hard to study a Bible if you don't have one with you. Genesis chapter number 18, on our way to that text, I would mention not only the sight of favor, but I would mention the seeking of this favor. If God has ever favored you with spiritual sight, you will spend the rest of your days seeking to have favor with Him. You'll want Him to look upon you with favor. The Bible tells us in this position of seeking favor, Ruth, when she got her eyes open there talking to Naomi, and she told her that her God would be my God, where you die, I'll die. The Bible said that she went back to Bethlehem and she found favor in the sight of Boaz. Boaz was a type of Christ. The Bible said he was a mighty man of wealth. That phrase there, it's the only time it's ever used in the Bible. He was a man with a long train. You talking about a choo-choo train? Oh no, Middle Eastern men, depending upon their wealth, would be the train coming off of their robe. They said old Boaz had a long robe. But I tell you, there's one greater than Boaz that I found favor in his sight. Isaiah said when I saw him, he said high and lifted up. He said his train filled the temple. Isaiah said I kept a looking trying to find the end of it, and I could not find the end of it, and lo and behold, I have found favor in the sight of one with such great favor. I'm a wondering tonight if you found favor in his sight. Does he look upon you with favor? But not only I see the sight of favor, the seeking of favor. I wonder tonight, I'm just being nosy. Do you get up every morning with the thought, I want to make sure every wakening hour I'm doing and saying and acting in which I can find favor in His sight? You say, I don't have time for that. Your forefathers did. Your forefathers did. You got your Bible there? Genesis chapter number 18. I want us to see not only the sight of favor, the seeking of favor, but in Genesis 18 and verse 3, I see the state of favor. And he said, my Lord, this is Abraham speaking, this is the father of the faith. If you're saved tonight, you got your faith through Abraham. You got the same kind of faith he got. Well, this is what Abraham said. He said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Abraham's total ambition, he spent every day of his life wanting to make sure that he had favor in the sight of God, as Abraham did that. You still got your Bible there in Genesis? Look in chapter number 47. Excuse me, chapter 33, verse number 10. Not only was Abraham like that, but old Jacob was like that. The Bible said in verse number 10, and Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if now I have found favor in thy sight. Jacob had a lot of problems. Jacob had a lot of ups and had a lot of downs. But he spent his days making sure he had favor in the sight of God. I was wondering tonight, not being nosy, God looking down on you, He knows everything about you from beginning to end. Are you finding favor in His sight tonight? It's extremely important. I'll not look at it, but in the book of Exodus, chapter 33, verse 17, Moses spent his days seeking, making sure. You say, I'm too busy for all that. I tell you what, you're too busy to go to heaven. Huh? The only way you go to heaven tonight is to spend your days seeking to be in favor with him. A position of favor tonight. I'm not talking about the world looking on you with favor. I'm not talking about the world or your wife or your children or your husband looking on you with favor. I'm talking about God finding you favorable in his eyes. In his eyes. You still got your Bible there? Continuing this study, we're talking about our sense of sight. God fine-tuning our spiritual sight. It would involve the position of favor in his sight. Judges chapter number 2. I want you to see that it would involve the practice of frequency in his sight. What are you to practicing on a daily basis in his sight? There was a group of people in the book of Judges. It's the craziest thing in the world. You know what their name was? They were called the children of God. And they daily practiced evil in his sight. What? They daily practiced evil in his sight. Of course, you realize tonight that our idea of evil and his idea of evil is two different things. He said, your foolish thoughts are evil. Whoa. He said, your empty words are evil. Whoa, my. These people practice evil in his sight. Watch the text if you've got it there before you. Judges chapter 2 and verse number 11. And the children did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Chapter number 3, verse number 7. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God. Every time they would do evil and forget God, God would send armies against them and bring them down, humiliate them. How'd they get back in right standing with God? Look at verse 9. When the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, the Lord raised up a deliverer. Multiple times. Chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 6, verse 1. Chapter 10, verse 6. Chapter 13, verse number 1. They continually. I'm not talking about one generation. I'm talking about generation after generation after generation. You say that's crazy to do that. Sure enough. And so are we. Crazy to do evil. But I am reminded tonight, he was a patient and merciful God. And every time they cried out and said, oh God, we have sinned against thee, God would forgive them. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if America would cry out and say, oh God, we have sinned against thee. This is why you've brought this mess on Washington. It's not because of them sinners out there, it's because of these sinners in here. Huh? Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if Trinity Baptists would get off their high religious horse and cry out, oh God, Trinity Baptist has sinned against you. Would you please forgive us and heal our land? Wouldn't it be something if some of you daddies tonight get your family together, get off your religious high horse of thinking you perfect tonight and say, oh God, our family has sinned against you. We have done repetitions of evil over and over and over again. Would you forgive us and heal our land and stay the judgment of God upon us? I'm talking about the repetition of evil in his sight. Because see, he's very narrow-minded. The least little thing upsets him. Huh? Oh, we're talking about real narrow-minded. See, there's a lot of things you and I just sweep under the rug. Oh, that's not that bad. It's bad to him. Because we're talking about having favor in the sight of Baptists. Oh, God forbid. I'm talking about having favor in his sight. Yes, sir. Having favor in his sight. But not only do I see the repetition of evil, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, I see there is the repetition of good. The repetition of good. There was a time when the people didn't just do evil in repetition. But there did come a group, they's called the children of God too. And they just did the repetition of good in the sight of God. I don't know about you. I wouldn't be mind numbered with that group. Look at this one here. 2 Chronicles chapter number 24 and verse number 2. The Bible said, "And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest." That's Joash's testimony. Chapter 25 and verse number 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. Reigned 29 years. Verse number 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But not with a perfect heart. These people wasn't perfect. Oh no. They just wanted to do right. In the sight of what the Baptists thought or what religion thought. No. They wanted to find out what God thought was right. And that's all they'd do is what God thought was right. Huh? Oh my, in his sight. I notice in chapter 26 and verse number 1, "Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king." And the Bible said in verse number 4, "And he did that which was right in the sight." Not what was right in the sight of Jewish religion. Oh no, not what was right in the sight of the Jewish rabbi down at the synagogue. No, what was right in the sight of God. Tried to constantly find out what was right with him. And that's what they did. They just practiced that all the time. I notice in chapter 27, verse number 1, Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign. Verse number 2, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord." There was the repetition of right. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if God would raise up a sensitive group around here at Trinity, just so sensitive about every step you took that you wanted to make sure that step was right. About what your family thinks is right, or what your kin folks thinks right, or what your religious friends think right. No. What God thinks is right. Huh? You say, what could be gained by such a thing? I see not only the position of evil, the position of right, but I notice in the Bible, if you've got your Bible there, Joshua chapter number 3, there's not only the repetition of evil, there's the repetition of right, but what could be gained tonight is the repetition of size. What? What in the world could be gained if I just get real sensitive all the time wanting to make sure I'm right in his eyes? It'll be the repetition of size. Don't miss this. It's so good I hate to even show it to you. I know you ain't going to believe it. Joshua chapter number 3 and verse number 7. "The Lord said unto Joshua, this day." How come he's saying this to Joshua? Joshua has been practicing right in his eyes. He said, "Will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel?" He said, "I'm going to open their eyes and I'm going to magnify you." What's that word magnify mean? Bigger than life. Whoa. Bigger than life tonight. Oh, would you rather be big here and little over there? Or would you rather be big over there and little over here? You're going to have to decrease over here that you might increase over there. There's going to have to be less of you here if there's going to be more of you over there. If you're going to make a little splash here and big ripples over there, you're going to have to get mighty little over here. But he said, if you'll do right, He said, I'll magnify you. I'm afraid most of us are like old Saul, if you've got your Bible there. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. See, old Samuel, Saul didn't want to practice what was right. He just did what he thought was right. And the Bible says in chapter number 15 and verse 17, and Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own eyes, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Verse 26, Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. He said, as long as you were small in your own eyes, doing what was right, but you got too big for your britches and you started deciding what was right and what was wrong, what was okay, what you could sweep under the rug and what you couldn't. Oh, I don't know about you. I'm going to testify for you tonight, but I sure would like to make just a little splash here. Just a drip splash, but have big old ripples over there. Huh? I tell you, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to die to your stinking self tonight. Huh? You're going to have to live what's right in His sight. I'm talking about the practice of frequency in His sight. Not only do I see the position of favor in His sight, the practice of frequency. By the way, tonight, lest I forget to ask you, I hate to forget to ask you, what are you practicing? I mean, on a majority of basis. I'm talking about overall. You practice what's right. You know what would be right, don't you? You just get up every morning, get in your Bible, pray. You practice that? That's what He would be looking for if He was looking for right. He would be looking for some fella that controls his thoughts. He would be looking for a fella that an old gal comes by dressed half clad. He'd be looking for a fella that doesn't do this. He'd be looking for a fella that does this. Hello. Right in His sight. Frequency. He said, if you do, He said, I'll make you bigger in life. Oh, I love that, don't you? You got your Bible there? Psalms 90. I want to look third of all tonight at the pronouncement of facts about His sight. Because, you know, a lot of us here tonight, including me, we are really stuck and hung up on what we can see with our physical eyes. It's going to be awful hard for you and I to make the transformation and stop being overly concerned about what we can see with these eyes and desire to see with our spiritual eyes. Hey, don't spend all your life trying to get what you can see with these eyes and miss what you could see with these eyes. Are you listening to me tonight? I notice one of the pronouncement of facts is in Psalms 90 in verse number 4. I call it the hours in His sight. He says in Psalms 9, I guess it helped me to get over there. I hadn't got over there yet. I started halfway over there and stopped. Psalms 90 verse 4, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as, what? 1,000 years are but as a yesterday. Gracious. Man, didn't you think this week, these 6 days just went by? He said it's like 6,000 years where I live. Whoa. You're so concerned about something today. Mike's just had your eye all day long. I wonder that thing that's just bugged you all day long. You've looked at it from every angle you can look at it. I wonder what that thing right there will be like in 100 years. You reckon 100 years from now you'll be in heaven? Are you listening to me tonight? I'm talking about the practice of sight in his eyes. He says a thousand years or he's a yesterday when it is past and as a watch. Man, he done fine-tuned this thing. A watch in the night. A watch was from four, the watch he's speaking of here, was from four in the morning till six. Watch in the night. You get up in the middle of the night and can't sleep about 2 or 3 hours. You can't sleep and you're worried and concerned about something. He said, that's like 1,000 years in my world. Whoop. Oh, gracious. Oh, I was thinking about the world that you and I are going to. No clocks over there. No clocks. You will not meet up anybody in heaven and hear them say, wait a minute. Wait a what? There ain't no minutes up there. Just a second. No way to figure out what a second is up there. Nobody will say, hey, let me meet you tomorrow down by the... Meet me when? Tomorrow. There ain't no tomorrows over there. Huh? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we get our eyes over there instead of so much over here? Huh? I'm talking about the hours in His sight. I ran across this verse today. It's just been bigger and bigger in my heart. I just thought I'd read it to you if you've got your Bible. We're talking about the hours in His sight. Psalms 119. Oh, it's such a precious verse. David was praying and he said, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. Turn my eyes away. I was studying those words out, amplifying them. He said, God, keep me from looking at worthless things. I was wondering, now to be honest with me, because I know some of you say, I tell you, preacher, I hadn't got to ask God to forgive me or nothing. Have you looked intensely with a worrisome eye today at something that will mean nothing a year from today? David said, Lord, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. Things that are of no value at all in the world to come. I'm talking about the hours of practice in His sight. How about this little thought? We're talking about the pronouncement of facts now about His sight. Ecclesiastes chapter number 8. Not only would I mention the hours in His sight, but I would mention this little thought, hiding from His sight. Hiding from His sight. There is some of you that have done some things. Your wife don't know you did them. Your husband don't know you did it. The children, the parents don't know you did it. You feel like it's hid. Pay close attention to this little verse. Verse number 3. Be not hasty to go out of His sight. Stand not in an evil thing. For He doth whatsoever pleaseth Him. Solomon said, don't be hasty to think that you can get somewhere where He can't see. You can shut the door if you want to. He can still see. You can cover it with deceit. He can see it better than He can see anything else. It's like He's got it underlined, amplified in italics. I tell you tonight, you can put it in darkness. You can do it in darkness. Don't nobody know anything about it. He sees 20/20 in the darkness. I'm talking about hiding from His sight. I tell you what, if you've hid things and you don't think nobody knows them, if you're going to do right in His sight, you're going to have to belch those things up and get rid of them, ask Him to forgive. Oh, God, I have sinned against You. Are you listening to me tonight? You're listening to me tonight? I'm talking about hiding from His sight. How about this one? This has been a blessing to me in some ways. Hebrews chapter number 12. Not only do we see the pronouncement of facts about His sight in the hours in sight, the hiding from His sight, but I would mention the holiness in His sight. Holiness in His sight. I don't doubt tonight that if we took a survey right here, went down through the crowd and asked the question, how would one get to heaven? I'd say the majority of the answers would be, well, you need to be saved. You need to make a profession of faith. You need to ask the Lord to save you. Do you know being right in His sight now? Did you know that you don't find any of those kind of answers in the Bible? There's all religious answers. It sounds good. Make you feel fuzzy-wuzzy all over. But here's what He says about seeing Him. If you really want to see Him, this is what He said. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 14. He said, follow pace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You interested in seeing God tonight? Praying a sinner's prayer won't help you. No, He said you're going to have to be holy. That little word holy there is God-like. What? Christ-like. You're going to have to be like God tonight. You're going to have to be like Christ. If you're going to see, we're talking about His sight. We're not talking about the sight of Baptist tonight. There's a lot of people going out of here thinking they were saved in the sight of Baptist and felt the flames of an eternal hell at the feet when they stepped out of here. Hey, see, hon, when I close these eyes and my wife plants me and I can no longer see with these eyes, I want to open my eyes and not see hell. I want to open my spiritual eyes and see Him. He said, without holiness, you'll not open your eyes and see me. Amen. Huh? You can't live like a devil. You can't do what you want to do. Talk like you want to do. Dress like you want to do. Go where you want to do. And open your eyes after death and see Him. Yes. Ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen. No, it's not gonna happen. Oh no, there's the holiness in His sight. Can I close with this thought? Maybe some of you say, boy, it'd been good for you to close a good while ago. But I am closing now. Psalms 116. Not only do I see the position of favor in His sight. I don't know about you. I want to finish up what hours I've got left today pleasing in His sight. I want to wake up tomorrow, try to live my life doing what is right in His eyes, His sight. The practice of frequency, the pronouncement of facts. But in Psalms 116, I notice the precious future in His sight. The precious future in His sight. I cannot believe in Psalms 116, talking about spiritual sight now, that He put this verse in the Bible. He said this thing of precious in His sight. He tells us in Psalms 116 that it makes that, T-H-A-T, that precious. What's that? Look at verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is, time out, hold on, not that. He said, precious in my sight is killing your loved ones. He said, it brings me great delight to cut their breath off and let them exhale here. and never see anything in this world again. He said, it brings me the greatest delight. You say, I like that. Tell him when you see him. He says, one of the greatest delights that ever heaven has had is the day your loved one died. He said, it was precious to me. Oh, it might have been a great heartache to you. You may not have gotten over it, and it's been 20 years. But he said the day they died, if they knowed me, he said it brought me the highest joy when they opened their eyes and saw me for the first time. Huh? Gracious, I don't know about you. If he thinks that is precious, maybe you and I ought to start thinking that is precious. Huh? You listening to me tonight? Oh, not only does it make that precious, if you've got your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He tells us in this text of Scripture, we're talking about a precious future now in his sight. Not only does it make that, not that, preacher. Preacher, I tell you, that's the worst day I ever had. The day my precious loved one breathed their last breath. Preacher, I never have gotten over it. Well, I got good news for you tonight. You might not have ever gotten over it, but God said it was the greatest day he'd ever had. He said he took great delight in it. He said it made him the happiest he's ever been. When your loved one did this, close their eyes. He said they took one step into eternity, they inhaled, opened their eyes, and they saw me. Whoa, my word. He said, that is precious in my sight. But not only does he say he makes that precious, but in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, he said he makes now precious in his sight. He said, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen. Isn't that what's been involving most of us today? Looking at what we could see? Looking not at the things we can see. He said, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, I tell you, to know him, it makes right now precious. Well, how can it be precious when I don't spend all my time looking at what I can see because it's temporal? Everything you've got's going to burn up. Huh? I know the Jehovah's Witnesses say they're going to inherit the earth. Next time you see one, tell them to hold on. She's fixing to blow. Huh? I don't want to inherit this mess over here. What in the world would I want this? I want out of here. I want that. If you'll go to looking at that, it'll make now precious. If you stop looking at that, it'll make now a mess. Are you looking at me? Oh, I'm talking about it makes now precious. One other one, 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Precious future now. It makes that precious. It makes now precious. But I notice in chapter 13 and verse 12, it'll make then precious. He said, for now we see through a glass darkly. That little thing there, we're looking through a oblique, shadowy darkness. We can't see clearly. He says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then, face to face, face to face. Now I know in part. I was talking with a lady the other day at a birthday party, and she said, you know, she said, I believe all of us, we get to heaven, we're going to be angels. She said, "You believe that, don't you?" And I mean, she just said it like that. You know, I was just going to say, "Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I believe." I said, "No, I don't believe that at all. I ain't going to be no angel when I get there." "Oh, no. How come?" "Well, watch the text. I don't want to confuse you with the Bible. You know what Jesus said. He said, but then face to face. He said, now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I have known." I'm going to be Tom over there too. There's just going to be more of me than there is down here. Huh? Be magnified over there. Whoa, bigger than life. Are you listening to me tonight? He says in verse 13, "And now," right now, "abide faith, hope, love, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity." I tell you, precious in His sight. Not only does it make that precious, when you find that to be precious, it'll make now precious. But oh, bigger than that, it'll make then precious. Oh, when you step over there into that world. I'm talking about our sense of sight. It is that which will conclude our faith. Faith has gone through some processes. It's gone through the process of God commencing it with giving me ears. God began to give me a taste for God. I began to consume His Word. He gave me a taste for Him. God took me and began to work on me. Not only did I have ears, I had a taste for Him. But oh, God began to continue to progress my faith, my hearing, my touch, my sight. And it'll all conclude with me seeing Him. Human eyeball, physically, is only an inch in diameter. But it can see as far away as a star. It can see that which is tiny as a grain of seed. The eye does not see objects. Brother, when I look at you tonight, I ain't seeing you. All I'm seeing is reflections. Don't see you. Oh no, it's much bigger than that. There is a reflection and a flood of light that comes into my eyes. And when I look at you, I see you upside down. Your left arm is on your right side, your right arm's on your left side, and you're flat, and you don't have no color. That's how He comes into me. Flooding with a reflection of light. Sends those waves to my brain. In mega centimeters of seconds, it flips him right side up. It flips the right to the right side, the left to the left side. Enhances him. And gives him color. I'm going to tell you something, hon. That's one more miracle. But greater than that miracle was the day He gave me spiritual sight. Oh, He flooded me with light. Commanded the darkness of the light to shine out of darkness. He turned my world right side up. He put the right on the right side. He put the left on the left side. He enhanced the things of God and gave it color to me. And it's about the only thing I want to look at now. Huh? Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, I thank Him for the day that He caused me to see. John said, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. When He saved me, faith, hope, and love is the way I've conducted my life. But one day, faith will go away. It'll turn to sight. Hope will leave. It'll turn to reality. But love shall ever continue. Oh, I'm glad of that tonight, aren't you? He let me hear. He let me taste. He let me smell. He let me feel. And the conclusion of it all, I'm going to see Him face to face. And as old Fanny Crosby told the songwriter one day, fella that wrote the music for her songs, he said, "Fanny, what in the world are you talking about? You gonna see God? You wouldn't know Him. You've been blind all your life." Upset her. Made her mad. She stormed on out and went up to her bedroom. The next morning she come down there where he was a-sitting on the veranda on the front porch and slapped it down right there on beside him on the table. He went into the room in about 3 minutes. He wrote the music to him. "I shall know Him. I shall know Him by the scars of the prints in His hand." I love the hand. Old Fanny said, "I can't see with these eyes." But she said, "I'll know Him when I see Him with them spiritual eyes." Huh? Oh, the old Song of Solomon, Gail said, "He's the chiefest among 10,000. I told you the other night, she said, "You put Him in an ocean of people." And she said, "I'll pick Him out." That little word, chief, just means stand out of the crowd. She said, "You put Him in an ocean of people." She said, "I'll pick Him out of the crowd." Ah! I don't know Him by these eyes, but these eyes sure know Him. I was thinking tonight, thought I'd ask Brother Chad, sister, to come around. You'd stand with us tonight. Get you a blue song book. I want to read the words to this song before we sing it. I'm asking you tonight, sir. I'm asking you tonight, ma'am. If you're practicing what's right in His sight. We are going to have to close these eyes one day. You spend all your life trying to look, see, worry, fret. What's going to be like when you close them eyes? Don't see nothing down here no more. When you open those eyes, or is the first thing you're going to see? The only way you'll see Him is through holiness. A little song on page 83. I'm going to read you the words before we sing them. The old songwriter Top Lady said, "Rock of Ages, cled for me, let me hide myself in Thee. Let the water and the blood from Thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure." I was extremely interested in the third verse. He said, "While I draw this fleeting breath, old Top," he said, "when it comes time for me to do this, while I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyes shall close in death, when these eyes here will no longer see, where are they going to open up at?" Old Top Lady said in the chorus, he says, "When I rise to worlds unknown and behold Thee on Thy throne, Rock of Ages, cled for me, let me hide myself in Thee." I was wondering tonight, are you practicing that which is right in His eyes? Are you finding favor in everything you do? I wonder if you need to come tonight, root you out a place in this altar. Say, "God, I've sinned against You. In the practice of my life, things I've been doing, things I've been looking at, things I've been fretting over and worrying about. Lord, I want to open my eyes and see You and hear You say, 'Well done, Thy good and faithful servant.' Come on in. I've been looking for You. I've been waiting."